الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Think back to the time when you started your first job, or perhaps a new job. Or if you don't have a job yet and you're too young, think of someone who is starting their first job or a new job. When you go for work on the first day, you have an expectation as to the type of work that you're expected to do. Or if you don't, then you're at least told about it. You are told, most chances are, about the code of conduct that all employees must adhere to. You are told about the hours of work and whether you have any flexibility or not. You're told about the pay. And there's someone there usually to train you so that you're able to fulfill your responsibilities properly and so that you're able to be successful in that new endeavor that you have taken upon yourself. What would happen if there was no guidance? If you showed up on the first day of work without knowing what you're supposed to be doing, without knowing who your superior is, without knowing how you're going to get paid, how much you're going to get paid, and when you're supposed to be working. There obviously would be a lot of confusion, and you would have a very hard time in being successful in that place of work. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us on this earth. And He has given us this life, which is a great blessing that He has gifted us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also not left us without guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, created the universe, created our lives, and then also gave us guidance on how to use that life properly, effectively, so that we make the most of it in the best way possible and get the best possible return from it as well. Now, the system of communication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala devised is that of choosing people from within humanity to be His messengers, His prophets, who receive revelations sent from Him through an angel. Allah tells us in the Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ اللَّهُ يَصْطَفِي مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. That Allah chooses from the angels, messengers, and from the people. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this selection, and it is only in His control. No one could have done anything to make themselves eligible or to ask for prophethood or to ask to be made a messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the very best of people from amongst the various nations to be His messengers and to be His prophets. They were pure, they were God-fearing, meaning they were people of taqwa. They were conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were obedient in their submission to Him. And in fact, they were made role models. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected them and talks about them even now in the Quran means that they were role models. They were free of spiritual diseases and issues and problems that we face in our lives in terms of our spirituality, in terms of our personalities. So they were free of these spiritual diseases, yet at the same time they were human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the prophets, chose prophets from amongst the human beings. And He also tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. That indeed Allah chose Adam and Noah and the family of Ibrahim and the family of Imran over the worlds. So He selected them. He chose them to be his representatives and his messengers in this world. Now, Adam alayhi salam was the first prophet sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course the first human being. And Nuh alayhi salam was the second prophet. Some have written that he was actually the first messenger. And there's a long discussion between the difference between a Rasul and a Nabi, and the fact that Adam alayhi salam was the first Nabi and Nuh alayhi salam was the first Rasul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. In any case, they're both prophets of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has told us that the period between Adam and Nuh alayhi salam was 10 centuries. So there was 10 centuries between these first two prophets. Now during this time, after the passing of Adam alayhi salam, and after some time, people started remembering, or they wanted to remember, the pious people who had passed away. So what they started doing to retain their memory, they started making pictures of them first. So these were pious people who were worshippers of Allah, and they were known for their piety and for their truthfulness. And these people passed away. So the others in the community wanted to keep their memory alive. So they started making pictures first. And then they started making statues. And from there on, as time went on, and as generations passed, people started worshipping these statues. And then the even later generations didn't know why these statues were created in the first place, so they continued on with the worship of these statues, of these idols, without any recognition or understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and, or perhaps a very skewed understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because they were not following any divine guidance, they also became people who were very cruel and people who were very immoral. So Nuh alayhi salam was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people to remind them about Allah. And that's what he did. And he asked them to look at the creation around them. He asked them to ponder over nature, over the changing of the seasons, over the sustenance that they receive, to ponder by looking at the moon, the stars, and the sun. And he also warned them about Allah's punishment as well. And the warning was that if you continue with your evil ways, if you continue to ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you continue with your arrogance and your pride, then be warned of a severe punishment. Now his preaching touched the hearts of those who were weak. His preaching touched the hearts of those who were weak, who were poor, and they soothed their wounds with the mercy of his teaching. So the people who were known as being not very high in society were the ones who accepted his call. On the other hand, the rich, the strong, the mighty, the rulers, they just looked at his preaching with cold distrust. And they were dismissive. They said, "You are just a human being like us. You are a liar." So the disbelievers tried to bargain with Nuh alayhi salam, and they said, "If you want us to believe in you, then dismiss your believers. These believers that have come to believe in you and in Allah and in your message, who are lowly, considered to be lowly in society, they are poor and they don't have any power. If you get rid of them, if you dismiss these meek and poor people, then perhaps we will believe. Because we are the elite. We are rich, and no faith can include both of us. So it's either us or it's them. So if you get rid of the poor people, if you get rid of these people who have no authority and no power, tell them to get away, and then we will believe perhaps in your message." Nuh alayhi salam was very clear, and this is quoted in the Quran. He told them, "I'm not interested in your wealth." Okay, because perhaps the thought process was, you know, if these poor people are with him, then they're going to try to find ways to get our wealth. So Nuh alayhi salam was very clear that, "I don't want your wealth. I don't ask for your money. And I'm not going to drive away the believers, the people who have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have believed in my message. I am not going to drive them away." And they also asked him for the punishment that he was talking about. So he said, "Okay, if you are threatening us with punishment, if you're warning us, then bring it on." So Nuh alayhi salam went through this situation. And in Surah Nuh, the chapter named after him in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes what he said. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. He said, My Lord, I have called my people night and day. فَلَمْ يَزِدُهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا. But my call added only to their flight from the truth. I call them day and night, but they keep going away. وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ. Whenever I call them so that you might forgive them, they put their fingers into their ears. Whenever I call them so that you might forgive them, they put their fingers into their ears. وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. And wrapped their clothes around themselves. Okay, so they closed up, literally, covered their ears, and grew obstinate and waxed proud in extreme arrogance. What was the level of their arrogance? It was extreme. They were rolling in arrogance. ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا. Then he continues, then I called them loudly. Nuh alayhi salam says, I called them loudly. ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. And then I spoke to them in public and spoke to them in private. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. So I said, pray to your Lord for forgiveness. Indeed, He is very forgiving. So even after these constant denials that Nuh alayhi salam was facing from his people, he still continued to encourage them that pray to your Lord, to your true Rabb, for forgiveness. And indeed, He is very forgiving. So go ahead. It's just a matter of turning around and seeking forgiveness for what you are doing. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. And as a result, He will cause the heavens to rain upon you in abundance. So don't think by seeking forgiveness and accepting the message and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are going to lose anything in terms of your wealth and your sustenance. He will cause the skies, the heavens to rain upon you in abundance. وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And He will help you with riches and children and will cause gardens to grow for you and cause rivers to flow for you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls everything. So if you turn to Him, seek, and if you repent to Him and believe in Him, then you will get all of these things. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. What has happened to you that you do not appreciate the majesty of Allah? مَا لَكُمْ. What has happened to you that you do not appreciate the majesty of Allah? So Nuh alayhi salam continued preaching for 950 years. Okay, now that sounds like a long time. And that's because the lifespans at that time, in those days, in the very beginning of humanity, used to be considerably longer than our lifespans today. Okay, so for his preaching was for 950 years, and this is mentioned in the Quran. He was threatened by his people. قَالُوا لَئِن لَمْ تَنْتَحِيَا نُوحِ لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمَرْجُومِينَ. They said, if you cease not, if you don't stop, O Nuh, you will surely be among those who are stoned. You will surely be among those who are stoned, meaning to death, of course. And in one narration, it is mentioned that he was actually choked. So Nuh alayhi salam would be chased, would be made fun of, and also choked at times. In any case, فَدَعَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. So Nuh alayhi salam, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He supplicated to his Lord, saying, I am overpowered, so defend me, so help me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the command, the instruction to build a ship. And while he was doing that, وَيَصْنَعُ الْفُلْكُ وَكُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُوا مِنْهِ. And as he was constructing the ship, whenever the chiefs of the people passed by him, they made fun of him. Whenever the chiefs of the people passed by him, with whom this dispute was going on, They made fun of him. They made a mockery of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the ship as well. He says, وَحَمَلْنَاهُ عَلَىٰ ذَاتِ أَلْوَاحٍ وَدُسُرٍ. And we caused him, meaning Nuh, to board that which had planks and nails. Right? So the ship was made out of planks and nails. Now another meaning of the word dusur is perhaps a rope made out of fiber that's used to tie up planks of wood for a ship, for example. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this command. The people thought that this was ridiculous because there was no water. You know, they were in a warm climate and there's nowhere that the ship was going to float. So people made fun of him. But he continued with his mission and the job that he had been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah tells us, فَفَتَحْنَا أَبَوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ. So we opened the gates of the sky with water pouring forth profusely. Okay, abundant rain. Abundant water came down from the sky. وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا فَالْتَقَى الْمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ قُدِرٍ. And we caused the earth to gush forth as spring. So not only did the water come from the sky, but also from the ground as well. So the water of both kinds, so the water from the sky and the water from the ground, met together for a destined event. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different place tells us, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا وَفَارَتَ النُّورِ. So it was until when our command came and the oven overflowed. Now this oven is mentioned right here in the Qur'an and in stories when we hear about the story, the incident of Nuh alayhi salam. And you see what happens is when we say the word oven, what do we think of? We think of our oven at home, right? So you think of your range, your stove at home, you think of the oven, and you think of the door open and water gushing out. And it sort of doesn't make sense because the oven is supposed to be a hot place, and where does the water come from? There's no water connection going into the oven. The key is to understand that the word mentioned in the Quran is tannur, right? Otherwise known as tandoor, tannur, which would traditionally be something that is a hole that is in the ground or that is placed on the ground in which bread would be baked. So then, now we understand that the water was coming from the ground, from all over the ground. All types of cracks in the ground were all gushing with water, and therefore there was so much water that the tannur, the traditional oven in the ground, overflowed with water coming out of the ground. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we said, قُلْ نَحْمِلْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّنْ زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ. Load upon the ship of each creature two mates. وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَبَقَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَوْلُ وَمَنْ آمَنَ. And your family, except those about whom the word has preceded. Except those, meaning who are disbelieving and cannot get away now. وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. But none had believed with him except a few. So even after 950 years of preaching, the number of people who had actually believed in the message of Nuh alayhi salam through no fault of his own, because he gave it his utmost that he could, was very few. And according to some narrations, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, the maximum number was 80. But again, that is something that Allah knows best about. One of his sons disbelieved, and this is mentioned in the Quran. And he was about to perish. And Nuh alayhi salam, with the love that any father or mother has for their children, prayed for his protection and forgiveness. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out the error in judgment in doing that, because this son of his had disbelieved and would also not be able to be, would not be saved simply because of the fact that he was a prophet's son. Even being a prophet's son, okay, let alone anyone else, is not going to save anyone. Even being a prophet's son does not save anyone from the decree, the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Or from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? His wife also perished because she also disbelieved. And the water subsided eventually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قِيلَ يَا نُوحُ اهْبِطْ بِسَلَامٍ مِنَّا وَبَرَكَاتٍ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّمَّنْ مَعَكَ. It was said, O Nuh, disembark in security from us and blessings upon you and upon nations descending from those with you. وأمم سنمتعهم ثم يمسهم منا عذاب أليم. But other nations of them, we will grant enjoyment, then there will touch them from us a painful punishment. So meaning, from the children of Nuh alayhi salam, the sons, that was basically the restarting of humanity, right? Because everything else and everyone else was perished, and it was still early on in the story of humanity. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that the people who are with you, from them, meaning their progeny that's going to come, there will be those who are blessed, and there will be others also who will eventually disbelieve, and they will also be getting a punishment. Now the point of telling these stories, right, the point of mentioning these stories, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned them in the Qur'an, the reason why we discuss them, is not just mere enjoyment or entertainment. Allah tells us at the end of Surah Yusuf, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبَرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Surely in the narratives of these, meaning in the telling of these stories, there is a lesson for the people of understanding. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. It is not an invented story. Right? These stories are not just legends or myths or tales that are just told, you know, just for the sake of enjoyment or for something else. Rather, وَلَكِن تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Rather, a confirmation of what has been before it. So these narrations, these stories that we find in the Qur'an, they are confirmations of what occurred in the past, and an elaboration of everything in guidance and mercy for people who believe. Right? This is the reasoning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us for telling us these stories. Now sadly, the truth is that many people today think that these are invented stories. Right? And it's almost coming to the point where, you know, you're supposed to feel silly for believing in these stories. Al-'iyadhu billah. Okay, if you read articles, if you read comments that people leave, say, oh, people still believe in that? Ha ha ha. Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us very clearly that these were actual facts that occurred in the past, and there is no doubt about them. And not only do people think that they're invented stories, but unfortunately they have become a source of entertainment and confusion. Right? You have movies that are made based on such incidents, supposedly based on such incidents, such as one that's, you know, making the rounds or that is becoming popular right now, about Nuh alayhi salam, supposedly, marketed as entertainment. Right? So people go to the movie theater to see this movie, this story. Now, the original story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Qur'an is very sparse on details. Okay, there's not many details to the incidents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Qur'an. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also hasn't given us too many details regarding these. Because one of the reasons may be, the point is to learn lessons from them. The point is to learn lessons and not to make movies or to write, you know, novels based on them. So in order to make it a story that is marketable, that could be turned into a movie, right, that could be turned into a novel, details need to be added because those details are not really present. So therefore what happens? Falsehoods are added to these original stories. Now the danger lies especially when, because of two reasons. So number one, it's very easy to be affected, especially for our children. Right? So you say, okay, there's a movie out called Noah. Okay, it has something to do maybe with Nuh alayhi salam, and okay, let's go watch it. Maybe we'll learn something. Okay. Now there's falsehoods clearly that have been mixed in as part of the story, as part of the storyline, as part of the plot. Things which clearly did not exist, admittedly, even by the producers. So therefore, it becomes very easy to be affected because it's very hard to distinguish what is actual truth and what is not, number one. Secondly, we've all heard of the saying that seeing is believing. Right? So the stories and the details or whatever we have been given in the Qur'an and told by the Prophet ﷺ, we don't see it. And that's part of our faith, that we believe in it without seeing it. When we see something, even if we know that it may not be true, subconsciously, it's easy to start believing in it. Or at the very least, to start having doubts. Okay, perhaps it happened this way, perhaps it happened that way. And this is an entry point for the waswas, right? For the whisperings that come from shaitan. On top of that, not only are they disrespectful towards the Prophet of Allah, and in this case, Nuh alayhi salam, but it's actually slanderous as well. Because the depiction is of course not based on the Quran, and there are suggestions, actually it is mentioned, right, and a belief in other faiths that al-'iyadhu billah, that Nuh alayhi salam got drunk, that he was unclothed, and there were suggestions of scandal in that situation. Our belief is that the prophets, all of them, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, are protected from sins. The prophets are protected from sins, including those that taint character and set a bad example. Okay, because, you know, they are role models. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them role models, has chosen the best of the people. And if they're going to be committing sins, and if they're going to be, you know, involved in things which taint their character, then it's very difficult for people to have faith and confidence in their teachings and in their examples. Right? Now, yes, they were human beings, so they had some errors in judgment. They made some mistakes. And those have been clearly spelled out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. And they have been corrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Because at that level, it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is capable of correcting the prophets. And so they have been corrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach a lesson to people. But apart from those errors in judgment, the prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, are protected from sin. And therefore, for us, it is incomprehensible and completely unbelievable that a prophet of Allah will be involved in such negative things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from these misunderstandings. So my suggestion is avoid these types of instances. You don't want to spend money on slander and falsehood and profit those or create profit for those who are making money by making a mockery of the stories mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by slandering the noble prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something, in fact, that shouldn't even be fathomable for a believer to see and hear. To actually put yourself in a situation where you're going to watch a story that makes a mockery of a prophet of Allah and shows him in these types of situations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. If we want to be informed, and it's possible that we want to be educated, we want to be informed about what's going on, then believe me, there are enough reviews and enough articles that you can read about it, and you can get all the details necessary. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all types of falsehoods. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to seek the true lessons that need to be derived from these stories and grant us a life of goodness and piety. Okay, a special request that we, of course, remember all of our brothers and sisters who have passed away, but especially one of our dear brothers who was with us at this time last week, and he is not with us today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant our dear brother Musa Saluji a great forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take him to the highest stations of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant beautiful patience to his family, and especially to his wife. Ameen wa akhwada wa alhamdulillahi wa alhamdulillahi.